Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is, I'm totally not here. Today is Wednesday, September 25th, and I have a great guest in the studio. It's a little crazy morning for me because we're short one person today, and I have to do everything. So bear with us. I'm a little flustered, but I'm here, and that's all that matters. This morning, I didn't even have a chance to talk to you yet before the show,
yeah,
you know,
running,
I
mean, around, yeah.
Running around like a chicken with its head cut off. I'm joined by comedian Frankie Quinones. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me, Sam.
Of course, you're known as the Creeper Cholo Fit Guy.
Yep, Cholo Fit Creeper, homie.
What the hell is that? Go ahead, explain it to us.
Yeah, man, just, well, I do a lot of character work. I got about five or six characters, and then, you know, Creeper was a character based off my father and my godfather, his best friend, my Nino, and my cousin. I grew up around a bunch of cholos, and my dad was always in a lowrider car club, and so was my Nino. So I was always around that culture, kind of the positive side of it. And so I've been around a lot of kind of cholos that went through kind of a rough life, but then got their stuff together. So, you know, that's kind of a reflection of what Creeper is. He's a reformed cholo, because now he's a fitness instructor. You know, he's all about positive
so that's
vibes. He's
that's
all about positivity.
Character. Is that you, really? I mean, does that character reflect you?
There's a little piece of me.
Just
in it.
I went through my
you know, cholo stage in life, you know, that, but then, you know, then you realize that, you know, gotta get my stuff together. But
explain that to me. What's a cholo lifestyle? I didn't realize it was like a lifestyle.
Yeah, you know, well,
what does it mean?
In the beginning, it was like, you know, it's associated with gang life and violence and things like that. Just, you know, a lot of barrios, Mexican neighborhoods of cholos, gangbangers and stuff like that. But now, you know, it's a kind of a subculture that's embraced across a lot of genres, like art, photography, obviously the lowrider culture. You could still represent, you know, the cholo style and not, you know, not be, you can be positive about it and do something positive. So yeah. I think it's grown into something good. You know, it doesn't always have to be affiliated with gang life and violence. You
right,
know, you can still
exactly.
represent the cholo culture in a positive way.
Yeah. So, I mean, were you at a certain point part of a gang culture?
I mean, I would say I went through like my wannabe stage, you know.
Oh,
then,
really?
then I got my ass kicked. So it was cool. I was trying to fit in with my cousins and my family. Like, oh, I want to be down, you know. This is when I was still a young teenager.
Right.
And then one time I got, you know, I got beat up, and I got, you know, 12 staples in my head. I got a dent in my forehead still to remind me, like, hey, that life ain't for you, homie.
That's for you, huh?
So I was like, hey, you know what? I think I'm gonna just be a comedian instead, you know? Cause,
yeah.
But it was cool. I would get like kind of, you know. I'm a little guy, you know, I'm a little homie, so, you know, I got get picked on and stuff like that. But after a while, I would just start making people laugh, and then kind of making people laugh is what kind of like, hey, you know what, he's all right, man, let him hang out, he's cool, you know, he's funny.
Yeah, people like to laugh, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's amazing. Where did you grow up, here in L.A.?
Yeah, well, I was born here in San Fernando Valley, and that's where I lived when I was younger. Me and my family lived in a one bedroom apartment, and then we moved to just my one sister.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Very
so,
unusual. For
I know,
a
I know.
Family, right?
My dad knew how to pull out, you know. But then we moved to Ventura County, you know. And that's what mostly grew up in Oxnard, and then Cameron Hill, and then I lived in the Bay Area for a while. That was when I got a little bit older, but now I've been back here in LA for almost 7 years now.
Really?
Yeah.
So you came back, why, for your career and stuff, or?
Career to be back closer to my family. I got family up in Northern California also, but my mother and father, and, you know, I got aunts and uncles, they're all
still
down
here.
Yeah, they're here in the, you know, I'll kind of spread out throughout LA, and then San Fernando area, and then Ventura County, Oxnard, California.
Yeah. And you like to be around the family, right? Some people don't give a shit. They come to Hollywood.
They forget their
behind,
family, yeah.
You know? I know what you're saying, man, but that's cool. So do you have a pretty extended family here? I mean, you have mother and father and stuff, and the uncles, aunts, all that stuff.
I have a mom and dad. They just celebrated their 40th year of marriage, and they're still together, man. And I meet new cousins every year, so I don't know, it keeps growing.
Yeah.
But I got a lot of cousins, a lot of, you know, aunts and uncles. both my mom and my dad have, like, you know, I think, yeah, 5 or 6 brothers each. And then, you know, they all have kids and they have kids. And
yeah.
So it just keeps growing.
So it's cool. I mean, you like family, being around family.
Oh, yeah. All about family. And then cool. My mom's side, her dad, he moved out here when he was younger. He was in the military. But he's from Indian Reservation in Texas. And so I have a bunch of family out there, too.
That's nice.
Isleta Pueblo, yeah, it's a Tiwa tribe. But, yeah.
So you go up here, or Southern, let's say Southern California.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Stuff. And so you were picked on in school and stuff?
When you, I mean, you know, just here, because I was so little. You know, I'm still little. Imagine back then. I was.
That's true. How did you pick on the little guy?
Yeah, yeah. You know, it was a classic thing, pick on the little guy, you know, but then... But then, you know, I eventually, over time, a lot of those guys that picked on me, they're now like good friends of mine. Just funny.
Yeah, it is funny,
even,
right?
Even one of the guys that put the 12 staples in my head, I ended up actually being friends with one of them.
Really? Yeah.
Just kind of a trip.
Now, was that scary to you to be around gang members and stuff? I mean,
yeah,
how did you feel, or did they welcome you? And
no, I would say, you know, it was mostly my, you know, it was my cousin, so it was like my family. So I had a little bit of, yeah, yeah. And it was just, you know, when you're trying to find your identity when you're a teenager, you know, you're trying to fit in, man. And that was just, you know, when I go spend time with my family, my cousins, like, that's what they were doing, you know,
right,
they're in the
right.
streets or in the thing.
But you see, I can relate to it now because I have cousins also, and they were a couple of years older than me, and I try to fit in with their crowd. Which was a bad crowd, but but I know what you mean. I mean, even if your parents can't talk you out of it, you know, it's sort of like, yeah, that's who I want to be with. That's who I admire. You know, they can get together and beat somebody up, you know,
I feel
safe around them and shit like that. But it doesn't end good.
No, it never ends good, man. That's why. Yeah. But luckily, a lot of my cousins, they had, you know, once they had kids and I found they kind of turned their, I mean, they're still like down, you know, but hey, you know, like.
Yeah.
More channel that energy towards our family, which is a good thing. You know, I got some though; they're not you know, still in jail and so and stuff. But you know, all I could do is pray for the best for them. Yeah,
yeah. I know jail scares me to death, man.
Oh,
I'll never do anything illegal. You know,
no, dude.
It's like, you know, it's hard to imagine what it'd be like in there. You know,
I got, you know, I had a drinking and driving experience. I had a couple of days in there, and I was like, oh, never again, man.
Oh,
I never
want
to go back there.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. And I was only there for 2 days. I can't imagine being there for...
And we both are small. I mean, if we went to jail, people would fucking kick our asses, you know? Wow, that's interesting. So now, what were you doing? Did you always want to get into comedy, or was that later on in your life?
Nah, I was always kind of like class clown and stuff like that. My mom and dad are like big stand-up fans, you know.
Yeah.
It helped them through life, you know. I saw it, I witnessed it, like just be there. They would always have comedy on, you know, or always, you know, whether it be stand-up, you know, it was Eddie Murphy, Richard Pryor, Paul Rodriguez, George Carlin, all that. They had it all on all the time, you know. And we would always watch Living Color, or Culture Clash back in the day, or Saturday Night Live. And then I would perform for them in front of the TV, and they'd be like, "All right, let's turn the TV off. Let's see what you
got." Yeah, that's what you got.
And I'll just do my dad had a. I found a sprinkler head because he was a construction, you know.
Uh-huh.
And it was looked like a microphone, so I would pretend use that as a microphone.
Really, that's interesting. So that's fun. And so you realized you were funny early on in your life, right?
Yeah, kind of. But then it took me a while to finally say I was already like 24, 25 when I first did stand up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I was in San Francisco at the time.
And you realized that's what you want to do.
Yeah, and I was like, you know, and you go through the stage.
First. Now, didn't people tell you you're not going to get rich from comedy?
Oh, yeah, of course, man. Yeah.
But you're not doing it so much for the money as you do, I guess, because you love it, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think any comedian that's been doing it a long time could tell you that if you're in it right away to get rich and famous, it's probably not going to work
happen,
out. You know, I mean, I can't say that for everybody. Everybody has their own path, but. You know, I would say about, you know, the first couple of years, I was like, oh, I'm funny. This is going to, man, this is going to happen quick. And then it hits you. You're like 4 or 5 years in. You're like, oh, man, this is a marathon. It's not, you
exactly.
know, it's not going
to
happen.
You realize there's so many people that got here ahead of you who are also waiting to perform and to make it, you know.
Right.
So it's like everybody's going after the same gigs, you know. And there's so many people here that it gets discouraging for people sometimes.
Oh, yeah,
you know?
Absolutely, man.
Yeah. So you started it in San Francisco. And were you being successful there in the beginning?
Yeah, you know, it was just same thing. It was just like grinding it out, getting as much stage time as I could, and then, you know, and then you reach that first time when somebody gives you $20 and 2 free drinks, and you're like, oh wow, like, yeah, here we go, right. You know,
somebody's interested.
Yeah, yeah. And then, you know, kind of just kept going from there, and you know, I had the opportunity to meet people like Robin Williams, you know, Dana Carvey, all those guys. They would drop in at like just open mics in San Francisco, you know. And then you know, and then I would come down here to perform, and then it just kept growing over the years, you know. And then now I've been doing it for 15 years, so and it's barely been only 2 or 3 years it's been, you know, like my full-time job, so it took a while.
Yeah, it's not overnight. Yeah, right. People have to understand that. I mean, that's long, hard work, you know, for just waiting to really make it big, you know. So there you go. So there's so you have to do a lot of open mics, right? Why do these guys go, I mean, these famous comedians, why do they go to open mics? Are they looking for new people, or why would they drop by there?
I think just to drop in, you know, and then they get on stage. I saw Robin Williams get on stage at a, you know, it was like a cafe laundromat called The Brainwash. You know, it was the first place I ever did stand-up. You know, fortunately, it's one of the many places that's now closed in San Francisco, but it was like the longest running open mic in San Francisco. It went for over 20 years. Yeah, and he would get down there, get on stage. They're just working on shit. Really? I mean, stuff still. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, no, it's okay. You can fucking say anything.
Okay, okay.
Yeah. Right, well, they're working on shit. Too, so feel free.
Yeah, and it was good to just see them drop in, and maybe they're just, you know, looking for, you know, the next young guy. They're fans of comedy, you know, and I would see Robin, you know, hug people, congratulate him, high five people, and it was just, it was very encouraging to see, because he was a huge inspiration, you know, with all the character work he did and his energy. And he was one of my favorites.
Yeah. So now, so you started with, like, let's say standard stand-up, and then you started creating characters for yourself?
Yeah.
Okay.
The stand-up, you know, my stand-up, I do a lot of talk about my family a lot, do a lot of voices and storytelling. So naturally, you know, there was already kind of some characters building through my stand-up. So I started to do videos. You know, they weren't that good at first, obviously, but I started to do, you know, character videos. And, you know, the first video I did with Creeper was probably at least like 8 years ago or something. And
really?
And, you know, but it was okay. He was doing very stereotypical cholo stuff. But then he started to grow, and then you saw the layers in him. And then I found who he was. I'm like, oh, this guy's like, you know, he's been through a lot. He's been through the darkness, and he's found that positivity and fitness was his way, you know, to you know, stay in the right path in life, and that was what brought him happiness, you know. So
So he started working out and discovering a different life. Is that it? Wow, maybe I should start doing that.
Yeah, hey, man, it gets results. Man.
Yeah, that's true. Do you work out? Do you stay fit and stuff?
You know, yeah, I do, man. I run, you know, do push-ups and sit-ups. I work out, and just having Creeper as a fitness instructor kind of forces me. Because if I get out of shape, then people are like, oh, man, this program doesn't work. You know?
No fitness here. Yeah.
So, I stay, you know, try to work out a lot, you know, run and work out. Cause
that's good.
Just to, you know, I am getting older, man. So it's like, in order even to do these shows that I do, they're very physical. It's like I have to be in somewhat of shape, or else, you know, I'm going to pass out on stage or something.
That's true, yeah. Do you have a significant other in your life right now? I mean, do you have someone that has to deal with the fact that you create characters and have to be working and all
I don't, man. I'm single.
Nobody, huh?
My mom hates that, but you know, I'm trying, man, but it's hard. It's hard trying to find somebody that could deal with the lifestyle and the traveling and all that. And,
you know, 'cause
I'm I still have a long way to go. I'm not like, you know, this famous person or something, so I'm really like touring and grinding and trialing out. It's still, even though I'm having some success at it, it's still a lot of work. It demands a lot of my time. So to find a partner that
it would be hard to have a relationship when you, I know I'm in the same boat, you know, I mean, I'm so fucking busy. I don't have any time to develop a relationship with a woman. You know?
Oh, so you're single too?
Yeah, I'm single.
Oh, man, we should walk to the club, man.
I know, we should, right? Commiserate. Or maybe we'll find a woman. Who knows? You know? But, yeah, no, I know what you mean. So it's like you feel I can't be emotionally available when I'm not around, you know? And so, but still, people say it's all about priorities, you know? So if it's important, we'll find time for it, you know? So
that's how I put it to it, man. I mean, it's hard to schedule dating and all that. And then when I do like somebody and they're like, okay, well, what are you doing this weekend? Well, I'm going to be gone Wednesday through Sunday, but I'll be back Monday. And then it's like, okay, dinner Tuesday. And then it's like, But you know how they say, if you find the one, you find the one, and you'll make it happen.
So that's true, right? Yeah.
I'm waiting for that one, I guess.
Yeah. And sometimes they say it's good on a relationship when you're not together all the time, you know?
Yeah.
So if you go away for a couple of days or so, it's not a big deal.
Yeah, it could kind of keep the...
Exactly. The excitement.
Keep the hunger in it. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
Can't wait to see you.
I know, that's about how it would be, right?
But my mom's like, hey, as long as my mom just wants me to get somebody pregnant at this point.
Really?
Know? At first, she was like, no, do it right, mijo. You know, find a girl, get married. Now she's like, is she fertile or what? Like, come on, get her pregnant. And I'm like, mom, relax. You know, you just met her. Like, don't talk to her like that.
They're not used to people waiting so long
to
get married.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah.
How old was your mom when she got married? Do you know?
I think like 20. Yeah. You know, they were young,
man. That's how it was. My mom was like 19 when she got married.
Yeah. I think my mom might have been 19, 20. My dad was like 21, 22.
Yeah. Crazy, huh?
There. Yeah. They went to the same high school, same, you know, so.
Right.
Just, all right,
it's
let's
like
get married.
Same partner for all your life, pretty much.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, yeah. But that works, you know. I mean, I see a lot of couples staying through all these years,
man.
And they make it, you know.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, my mom and dad just celebrated their 40th year anniversary of marriage.
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That's pretty cool. So, are you the oldest or is your sister?
I'm the oldest. Yeah,
are you
sister's
really?
Seven years younger than me. Yeah.
Oh, 7 years.
Yeah.
Wow. Your parents sure know how to have fun.
Yeah,
man.
I know. Right?
They figured we don't need the kids
it out,
around.
Actually, yeah.
We don't need all these kids around. Very smart decision, you know. I can't imagine being part of a family with six people or something, you know. I mean, six kids, you know.
We always had, you know, I always had, growing up, I had an aunt and a cousin that lived with us. And, you know, so we still had, like, people in the house and, you know, and then after school.
And you said a one-bedroom apartment, right? So that
well,
was
Well, after we moved out of the one-bedroom apartment, then my aunt and my cousin moved in with us. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But the one-bedroom apartment was, it was good. We had, you know, love and sacrifice was always there. So it was always good energy everywhere. But yeah, even in that one-bedroom apartment, my mom would, scoop me around in a shopping cart. We'd go do laundry, come back, you know. My dad was always working. You know?
Yeah.
And then we just.
I know. You know, what's interesting is my dad also grew up pretty poor. And there were two families in the same house, sharing a house. And each family was like five, six people, you know. So can you imagine? I mean, that's got to be tough, you know. And then you grow and you find that you can find a better life, you know.
Yeah,
and then things change and everything, you know. I mean, my dad's from the old country and everything, so things were different.
Right. Yeah. You know? My mom and dad, same thing, man. Like I say, we lived in a one-bedroom apartment, but then we got a house, you know, and then it was like I witnessed them achieve that, you know, and it was very motivating for me to just see just all through work ethic. Neither of them went to college or nothing like that.
Yeah.
It was all just what we call ganas, you know, just working. And then so it kind of made me believe like, damn, I saw them make something out of nothing. So I was like, you know, pursuing what
Inspiring, yeah, for sure. Awesome. We're talking to the comedian Frankie Quinones. By the way, they misspelled your name here. They left the second N out. I don't know why, but I know the name Quinones. So so I was familiar with it.
It happens all the time, man.
Yeah, right?
I've been called Frankie Quinoa before, you know?
Yeah,
like, Quinoa, man. I mean, I don't try to be healthy, homie, but come on.
You know? You guys can see some of your characters, I guess, on FrankieQuinones.com. Mm-hmm. And you guys can just, I guess, Google it and find you. Those are pretty funny looking characters, you know. I mean, you have like distinct characters. So, but you can't do those. Or do you do those on in your act or in the videos, like you said?
Yeah, well, at first they were just in videos. But once the videos started going viral and people would come to the live shows, I developed the...
They expected to see those characters that you...
Yeah, and they see, you know, and I would voice them and stuff. But now the show has developed into, now that we got, you know, we were able to get more resources and, you know, we started selling tickets and stuff. It was like in touring, I do three characters and myself, and I have a quartet band on stage with me.
Really?
So it's kind of like, yeah, it's a party, man.
Wow.
So I go, I have it done to a science. I'll have all the outfits laid out. I change real quick and I have a couple openers, you know, Rudy Ortiz and Chris Estrada. And they fill in the gaps while I'm changing, And then, you know, they'll go on stage, and I come as myself. I do pachanga, I was like the party guy. I do Juanita, you know, and then I come and close out as Creeper, homie. That's what's up. So, and then I do stand up as myself also.
So you put on a long show then, right? It's not just a few minutes.
It's about a 90-minute show, an hour and a half, your standard show. You know, sometimes we go a little over, you know, depending on.
That's a long time to be able to hold people's attention, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Make them laugh and stuff.
Right, that's
a big deal. You know, people think, hey, comedy is easy and stuff. Well, maybe if you go on there and do 5 minutes, you know. But I mean, I can just imagine how long 5 minutes must seem to some people.
To
fill the 5 minutes with jokes, and there you are for 90 minutes, man. You're a pro.
Right.
Yeah, you're a pro. Wow.
Thank you, Sam.
So how do you develop something like that? It takes a while, right?
Yeah, man, it took me, you know, over a decade, but it was all inspired by family. Yeah, just adding to it and then making sure the characters have the layers. You know, there's a layer of pain in all of them, which I think helps the humor resonate more, because they're like, wow, these characters, I try to keep them grounded as possible. You know,
yeah,
I'm a fan of over the top characters that are like bam, bam, but you know. But my lane in comedy is the characters I do. I like to keep them grounded, where, like, you know, there's still some people to this day like, dang, I thought Creeper was a real person. What happened to your mustache? I'm like, no.
Whoa.
Like, he is in my head. He's a real person. But yeah, yeah.
So what are some of the characters? So you have Creeper, right?
Yeah.
And what are some of the other characters? So kind of talk like Creeper. I mean, what would he be like?
Yeah, he talks like this, homie. What's up, homie? You know, just trying to stay positive, do my things, do my workouts, and represent. Hey, that's what's up right there. You know, he's got his little whistle. That's what's up.
And he wears a wife beater and stuff, right? Is that him?
He's cut off sweats. Yeah, he's got like his outfit's like about $12. So he's about to headline the Wheel Turn with a $12 outfit on stage. You know?
That's cool. So yeah, that's actually part of why you're here. You're gonna have a show at the Wiltern. That's September 27th, so that's 2 days from now.
Yeah, this Friday.
Oh, this Friday. Wow. So wow, that's a pretty good venue, right?
Oh man, you know, it's a historical landmark in Los Angeles. So
it is.
Just all the times I've driven by it as a kid and stuff like that, and.
Now you're headlining, doing your own thing, right?
Yeah, it's a dream come true for sure. My whole family will be there.
Do you have a name for the show? What's the name of the show?
Just Frankie Quinones.
Frankie Quinones.
And then we got the band. We got my two openers. I do three characters. I do myself. And then it's a good time, man. I'm excited for it.
Yeah. What time does it start on Friday?
8 p.m. The doors open at 7 p.m. I know a lot of people are like, it says 7 p.m., but that's what Ticketmaster does. They list the door time, so it's like the doors open at 7 p.m., the show time's 8 p.m., and it should wrap up around 9:30 or so. And then I do a meet and greet as Creeper afterwards. You don't have to pay extra for that. I just kind of stick around as long as I can and do the cholo squats and stuff like that. Yeah. So I'm always sore after big shows because a lot of people want to do the cholo squat. Right.
So you have like a music in the background, like a little band or something?
Quartet, man. Quartet. Good friends of mine. Yeah, they play like some funk, tropical, like Latin music. And, you know, it's kind of like late night talk show vibe. They play music in between.
Since the mic
changes hands so much, it's not your traditional comedy show, you know?
Right.
It just adds to the energy party, and we interact
some jokes. That's cool to have, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow, so you thought it out. Well thought out, man. What are some of the other characters that you do?
I see, even
a woman, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Who is the woman?
That's Juanita, Carmelita,
Juanita. And are these characters like related to each other in the story, or they all stand alone?
Yeah, they all kind of stand alone, but the show that we're developing, they're all in the show, but they live in the same town. But they don't, you know, they're not like connected with each other yet. They might interact. But yeah, they're all based, like Juanita is pretty much based off my mom and women I grew up around, my aunts, my cousins.
Really?
Yeah.
So how do you say, talk like her? Can you talk like her?
She's like, hey, what's up? She's very like motivational and everything, you know, like, you paint your picture and you live it, you know? And then my mom will say speeches like that, and then she'll be all drunk, though, and then she just passes out right after. But, but yeah, that's Juanita, you know? She's spicy, and just she knows what time it is, and that's what's up. But yeah, she's like, you know, strong Latina woman, like, you don't want to, you know, fill with love, but you don't want to get on her bad side kind of thing, you know?
Wow. That's very cool. So, so you travel sometimes too, right? Out of town and stuff?
Yeah.
Where do you go?
Man, well, on this tour, we've hit almost every major city so far. The first time we did shows here in LA was, you know, I do sets obviously all the time, just doing stand up here in LA. My home club's is a Hollywood Improv, you know, and then obviously there's the Store and the Laugh Factory, those legendary clubs. But then when I do my characters, we were doing them in the clubs. We reached a point where we had to do too many shows, and then people were like, "When are you gonna do another show in LA?" So it's kind of been in the waiting. And I'm like, "Well, let's see if we can do it somewhere big. Maybe the Wiltern." And the Wiltern was like, "All right, let's do it." I'm like, "Oh, heck yeah!" You know, it was kind of a big deal for them to let me do my thing there. So
that's true. There've been a lot of bands and comedians there and everything at the Wiltern. Right?
Yeah. So I figured, now that the show's turned into what it's turned into over the years, which is, you know, now I got the band, I do the multiple characters, it's more of a theatrical show. So it was fitting for it to be at the Wiltern. But yeah, we've been touring around the country, man, hitting comedy clubs, theaters, and all around the country. It's been eye-opening, actually, because, you know, I've been to places where I wouldn't expect that maybe they wouldn't get my humor or whatever. But I didn't travel growing up, so I didn't, you know, it was just eye-opening to me to be like, oh, man, you know, there's good people everywhere. There's people funny as funny everywhere. And, you know, and I also I've been touring around my buddy Craig Robinson for the last 5 years. So it was a great learning experience for him to take me under his wing, kind of mentor me and show me what the road life and being a headliner on the road is like, you know. But like I said, too, I still got a long ways to go and a lot to learn. But I've been fortunate enough to travel and tour the country. And it's been cool to see different races and ethnicities and backgrounds. And even, you know, all age groups come up and be like, oh, man, we love you. We love Creeper. We love Juanita. And I'm like, oh, man, you do? Like, all right, cool. Hey, you guys get what I'm doing? That's what's up.
Yeah. Do you ever get late on the road like this? I mean, people come to you. What the hell? You're a star, you know? I was like, hey, yeah, baby. Come on, let's go.
Get a personal session or what?
Yeah, exactly.
A one-on-one session. Eh? Nah.
It's like almost every woman on the apps and on the dating apps and stuff is, I need someone who makes me laugh, right?
Oh, right.
Someone makes me laugh. It's like every woman writes that. So apparently they like it, you know? So yeah, it must be like popular with the girls.
They do, man. You know, but I try not to use like at shows to like try to holler at women, or I just want them to, hey, no, I'm here to give you what I do, give you the art and stuff like that. But it's also, it's kind of like a, I don't know how you say it. It's kind of like a, I guess like a I don't want to say a curse or a burden, but it's like sometimes women, they're like, oh, yeah, they like the funny guy. But then they see what the lifestyle is.
Uh-huh.
And then it's like, oh, hold on. What about, you know,
yeah,
I need you to be here when I get off work every day and ask me how my day went. You know, when it's like, well, I got to go, you know, I'm leaving to the comedy club when you're getting off work, or, you know, I'm going on tour.
Yeah. So, you know, so it's tough. Yeah, it's tough to also, grow any roots anywhere because you're moving around all the time, but at least you're grounded in LA and that's good.
Yeah.
So that's probably like your biggest market, right? For your comedy is LA.
Yeah, I would say, yeah.
Do you go like LA to Orange County, San Diego?
Oh, yeah.
Like that too?
Orange County, love it there. We just did the Bray Improv. I'll be at the Irvine Improv in a couple weeks also.
Oh, nice.
But yeah, they come out down there. We always sell out down there. It helps, you know, because when you have that energy and you know the show's already going to be packed, it's like this buildup of bam, you know, you want to give them the best you got.
So yeah. Very cool. We're talking to Frankie Quinones, of course, and you guys can find out a lot more about him and see his pictures and stuff on frankiequinones.com. And do you get like involved in social media and stuff too? Does that help you with your brand?
I mean, yeah, for sure, man. That's I would say most of the people that come out, you know, I have my cameos in my TV and stuff like that. I've done it TV, but the most of my audience comes from, you know, social media, like Creeper's Instagram. He's got almost, you know, I think he's got over 450,000 followers and stuff like that. And I'm not really, you know, I'm kind of older, so it's like I had to get used to being like, oh, you need to be active on that, and da da da. People get on me, you need to post more. And then I'm like, all right, let's do it, homie. Like, da da da.
Right.
But then it's also a challenge too, because some people that they don't, you know, or they don't look me up or whatever. They're like, oh, he's just an Instagram guy or a YouTube guy, or they don't know that I've been doing stand up for 15 years. You
yeah,
know?
So, yeah.
So it's cool when they come out to the show and they're like, oh, he's got a show, man. Like, yeah, he actually does stand up and da da da. So it's cool to be able to apply my stand-up skills to, you know, Creeper performing live and Juanita performing live and Pachanga, he comes out there and does his thing. But it was cool to be able to write sets for them and to do it as well.
Yeah.
And it's exciting for when people come out and then they see like, oh, he's been doing this, you know. It's,
yeah.
To a lot of people, it's like, oh, he just, you know, had a viral video, got lucky a couple of years ago, whatever it was. But it's like,
right,
you know, I actually been working on this character for a decade.
Yeah, exactly. So is that how you get like so many followers? Is by going viral, right? I mean,
yeah, and I think
suddenly something you do just starts spreading all over the place, and people start following you, right?
Yeah.
If you do it the normal way, you never get to these numbers, you know.
Oh, I mean, right. It's a different world now.
Yeah,
it's fun to do though. Like, let me see. Monday morning, I was in Times Square in New York, and I went out there dressed as Creeper and did a workout. You know, my friend just filmed it on his iPhone, and I posted on Cholo Fit Creeper. That's the Instagram. I posted on there, and then, you know, bam, just a bunch of people right away. It's cool that you could just get right to the people right away, you know,
right.
Whereas before, you know, you have to go through all these different avenues. When it's just like, now I could just film something on my iPhone and, you know, cut it up right there on iMovie on my iPhone on the plane on the way back, and then boom, post it. Then bam, people get it right then and there. You know, it's kind of cool.
That's funny, you know, but it's true. And you get a lot of comments and feedback right away and stuff.
Yeah.
Do you get like haters and stuff too?
Oh, of course, man.
Right? Yeah. Everybody gets haters.
Unfortunately, nothing can get big in our society without, you know, somebody hating on it, you know,
yeah.
Which is like, you know, Bob Marley has haters, you know, that's crazy to think about, you know, but it used to bother me in the beginning, like when stuff first started happening, because, you know, nobody says anything when you're nobody.
Right.
And then, you know, I still do got a long way to go, but at first, you know, when I would see, but 95% of the feedback I get is all positive, and that's what I got to focus on.
That's like
the people
true.
That I'm making laugh, and some of the messages I get, they're like very like encouraging and just almost overwhelming sometimes. You know, some people are like, you know, they're sick or they're going through something or they lost family, and they're like, hey, you know what? I really needed this and da da da. And it's like, wow, you know, it's just like, it's powerful.
Good for you. Then, you're focusing on the positive. You know?
But, you know, the haters, they're always going to be there. You know,
right.
I'm happy that because, you know, a hater, that's a lot of them, that's how they get through their day. You know, they go online and they take the time out of their day to be like, oh, you ain't shit and da da da, and you're a disgrace or whatever it is. And then, you know, and then they keep scrolling down, and I guarantee you that you're not the only thing they're going to hate on that day.
Right.
You know?
And they don't even remember posting that or anything.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're fucking stuck with this on your in the comments. But
right.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, shit. You know, I mean, that's pretty. You know, now I see on your website here, you hang out with a lot of cool people. So that's nice, right? So you perform around town. The World Turn thing, is that a one night thing?
Yeah, one
on
night.
On Friday.
Right there, yeah.
Okay. Well, if everybody is available and you're free on Friday, that's definitely the way to go. Sounds funny to me. You know, you're very entertaining and stuff. You're a very cool guy. So you can't really go wrong going and checking out Frankie. A couple of other things I wanted to ask you is, do you do any, like political stuff on your show, or do you stay away from that?
I stay away from politics. I'm a fan of political comedy. You know, there's some great ones, and then, you know, and I love good, jokes, but you know, they have to do with politics. Obviously I have my beliefs and all that stuff, but
right.
When it comes to my show, I just kind of
keep it light,
I just kind of keep it, you know, I try to just bring everybody together and try to find that common ground. You know what
right.
I mean?
Like, nothing controversial.
I don't want to hear who you voted for, because then it might make me feel some kind of way. But at the same time, it's just like, I would like to think that my show is kind of a break from all of that, because it's constantly being, you know, it's constantly on our phones, constantly on the news, on our news feed.
Right.
And I think it's important that there is that comedy does touch that. But I'm just saying for my lane and my comedy, I just kind of stay away from politics and just focus on family relationships, the characters, and just kind of getting a break from all of that, really.
Yeah. No, I mean, I agree with you, and I ask that of every comedian, and most of them say the same thing. You know, it's like people come to be entertained, you know. You don't want to start with the fucking politics and shit. That makes people crazy sometimes, you know. But there are always controversial things, you know. I mean, do you like treading in dangerous territory sometimes?
I mean, yeah, sometimes. You know, I never have, like, if I were to do it, like, just because my comedy is always like there's always a layer of optimism or positivity, you know what I mean? So, yeah. So it's kind of like, that's just my thing. I like to just perform and do the characters and da da da. But I don't know. I guess I've never consciously made like an effort to like say something controversial or da da da. But I don't know. Right. I always say what I want to say.
Right.
So I don't know. It could happen. I'm sure I've said something before that has offended somebody. Like, you know, that's like.
Yeah, that's what comedy is about. You know? Offending people.
And, you
all
know,
the time.
My character. Some of my characters offend some people. You know, and I understand that. But it's not. You know, I got to keep it moving. I mean, this is what I do. You know?
Yeah, so that's like, true.
Yeah.
Very nice. What's in store for you? What's in the future for you? Do you have? How do you see yourself? Let's say 5 years from now.
Oh man, hopefully with a television show, hopefully doing some feature work. Right now, just, you know, working on a Cartoon Network show called Victor and Valentino, you know, and that got a
cool
second season. And so, a good friend of mine, Diego, he created that show and it's been going good. But we're developing a show with the characters, you know, it's not a traditional sketch show. It's more of a narrative. Like each character has a story arc, but they all live in the same town. And so we've been working hard on that, and we're getting ready to take that out. And you know, there's some people interested in it. So I hope that you'll be seeing that on your TV screen next year. You know, but pretty much all my energy is directed towards touring right now, polishing up this show, which is the Wiltern. We've been kind of building up all year. All the tour dates have been building up to this show at the Wiltern, like dialing in the show,
that's
getting it
be a big
polished
deal.
Up. And it's kind of a showcase too. Like, all right, LA, we've been touring around with this and now we're bringing it back home. Like, boom, let's do this.
Exactly.
All
this is the climax of the year, at least so far. Very cool, man. So you're looking to get into television and everything too?
Yeah.
Right?
You know,
I've
been through like experiences. Me and some friends, we sold the show to TBS and they ordered 10 episodes of it and we filmed that. But now it doesn't have a premiere date yet. It's kind of just sitting on the shelf, but we did that. So it was good to get that experience. It was a lot of work, you know, it was eye opening to see. Right. Now I have a lot of respect. I used to see people on TV and be like, oh man, you got it easy. You just show up to the set and da da da. But it's like, you know, it's like 10, 15 hour days, you know?
Yeah. No, I get it. You know, I get it. Well, everybody, Frankie Quinones, the Creeper Cholo Fit Guy. And people can find out more about you at frankiequinones.com. And probably all your social media is on there too and everything.
Yeah,
so
if you go to frankiequinones.com or just Google comedian Frankie Q, it'll probably pop up hopefully and not say quinoa. But
yeah, exactly.
It's Quinones, homie, with the little A or the
man.
First N, the little.
Yeah. Yeah. I knew that because there used to be a reporter named Quinones on TV, and that's how I knew.
John Quinones?
I think so. He was on ABC or one of these. Like,
right.
Yeah, yeah. One of these news
stations. He does that show, What Would You Do? You know, he puts people with a...
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow.
People always ask, that's how... There's still a rumor going around that I'm related to him.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's a good rumor.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Shout out to John Quinones.
Exactly. Well, Frankie, thank you so much for joining me, man.
Oh,
good luck
you,
to you. Congratulations on the show. Everybody check it out at the Wiltern Theater. That's in Midtown. I mean, we don't call our place Midtown, but it's kind of in the city.
K-Town, Midtown, right there on Wiltshire and Western, right on the corner.
Wiltshire and Western, that's why it's called Wiltern. And I hope to see you again, man. Come back sometime.
All right, thank you, Sam. I would love to.
All right. Everybody check it out. How do people, I guess they just get tickets at the door, right?
Yeah, you get tickets at the door. If you go to, I have the links on all my social media and everything. Or if you go to there is a lot of third-party links, though, because there's some people hitting me up like, man, bro, $60. I'm like, no, bro, they're like, $25, $35, depending where you sit. That's it. But make sure that you don't pay more than $35, because there's some other links out there. Third party links. Yeah. So go to the Live Nation link. You know, I think the Wiltern.com has that link on there. But
cool.
Yeah.
And so, support Frankie. Why not? You know, you seem like,
come
a,
on out.
A great guy, man. Congratulations. You're very creative and, you know, full of fun. So there you go. You keep on going with that. All right, everybody. Thank you all for joining us, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Listening to Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.